The reading this morning is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, starting at verse 13. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So, Father God, we pray that as we look out for transformation in your world, that our minds and our hearts will be transformed in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just want to begin by giving you a taste of some overseas mission. The first nation that touched Wendy and my hearts was Cambodia. Overseas mission was something that we didn't particularly think we were called to. Long story, but connected with a couple in Cambodia who were doing amazing work among children who they gave a home to and built a community for these children to grow up in. And we visited that with a group from the Good Shepherd in 2011. And a taste for mission is because while we were with the children and waiting for the evening meal, we'd see the Cambodian leader of this work come in with a carrier bag from the market with a bit of a sort of wry smile on his face. And when it came to the evening meal, they served us up as a taster a few delicacies, including snake, rat, frog, and various creepy crawlies. So I think we got away with it because the sauces that were on them kind of covered up what it actually was. If you didn't know what it was actually fine. But a missionary isn't just somebody who crosses the sea. A missionary is someone who sees the cross. A missionary isn't just someone who crosses the sea, but somebody who sees the cross. So mission is just as much at home as it is abroad. All Christians are involved in God's mission, because mission begins with God himself. And I'm going to explain the logic of that statement, that a missionary isn't somebody who goes overseas, but a missionary is somebody who sees the cross. When I became a Christian, and I had this knowledge that I was saved and there was a place for me in heaven, I felt that maybe it was just an insurance policy. Maybe a bit selfish. Yeah, I was okay. I've been saved. Surely there must be more to it than that, more to being a Christian than thinking I've got my tick in the box. Otherwise, it seems somewhat self-centered and selfish. And I began, as my mind was being transformed, to realize that I must live differently. And what really impacted me was saying the Lord's Prayer over and over again during worship services. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and realizing that Being a Christian is about bringing heaven to earth, about the church making the world a different place. So how do we go about that? These early thoughts of being a Christian and my experience of going overseas have carried into my ministry here at the Good Shepherd and realizing that we're meant to be a missionary people. Over the past year, the church here has grown in numbers and diversity, recovering from the impact of the pandemic, which has thrown churches up in the air all over the place. So before the pandemic hit, we were working to develop our local mission here, what God is calling us to do, to join in with his work in this area. And as a church, we sought the Lord how we might be an influence for his coming kingdom in the Collioure area. And of course, people coming Sunday by Sunday to worship is a very important part of that. But the other way is to propagate the values of God's kingdom where we live and where we work. So we asked ourselves a few years ago the question, what aspect of local life could be transformed? How could Collioure more reflect God's kingdom on earth? How could heaven come to earth here in Collioure? And we decided upon these five transformational goals, which you see displayed on the banners hanging around you. And I'll come back to that at the end of this talk. So we're at a sort of a point of kind of resetting as a church, going back to where we were before we had this strange period of the pandemic and all that it did, because we believe that the vision God gave us then is still the vision for now. And of course we can do this by being salt and life in our lives. So I'm going to take a moment to consider what Jesus was saying when he spoke about salt and light, which he did during the Sermon on the Mount. So firstly, salt. And salt is does to food two things, as Keith said at the beginning with the crisps, to bring out flavour, but also salt can be used as a preservative. Bringing out flavour is how we bring out the best in people by being the best people we can with God's help. Much of this we do without actually realising it. The fruit of the Spirit in our lives, the way we are and the way we respond to situations makes a difference to those around us in our daily lives. So we probably do a lot more than we think we do already simply by being the people we are and who God is making us to be, which is a real encouragement, because sometimes it can feel a big burden when we're talking about mission. But just being the person God's called you to be can make a difference. And another way of doing that is being true to our own callings in life and using our God-given gifts in our jobs and our roles. And God wants he wants us to do through using how he's wired us with our gifts to bring flavour to the world around us. So, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and recognising our God-given gifts, which we use in our everyday lives, brings flavour to the world around us. The preserving feature of salt can require us to be more consciously proactive. As followers of Jesus, we're called to preserve and uphold the values of God's kingdom in the world. There are times when we need to speak up for God's values when discussing situations and options. This doesn't have to be massive things. Often just little comments here and there all have a preserving purpose. Often that isn't necessarily a conscious thing either, but we're acting to preserve God's values as we engage in daily conversations. Jesus makes an interesting statement that salt that loses its saltiness is no good. Chuck it out, he says. Salt's a chemical compound and it can't stop being salt. However, it can be less effective if it's watered down, if it's in solution, or mixed with other substances that are not salt. This is a way of saying that we need to remain pure in Christ and not compromise ourselves with the ways of the world. God's word calls us to high standards, and it can be easy to say, oh, never mind that little bit of gossip, it won't do any harm. Or, I work longer hours than I'm paid for, so I just add a little bit extra onto my expenses. As the saying goes, it only takes good people to do nothing for evil to prevail. So let's think about the light. Our world can have very dark places and things going on. Light shines in the darkness to expose what's not godly. Jesus described himself as the light of the world, and as his followers, we reflect that light. Christ is in us, the hope of glory, so we reflect his light in the world. Like salt, giving flavour by who we are, so God's light can naturally reflect from us. Psalm 119 tells us that God's word is like a lamp to our feet. There are times when we need to be proactive and direct the light like a torch beam. This means actively speaking out to expose ungodliness, even if it's very challenging for us. And again, like salt losing its saltiness, light can be obscured. Light's obscured if we cover it up or switch it off. This we can do by not owning up to the values of God's kingdom, or by stepping back from our relationship with Jesus. So we can be influencers for God's kingdom by simply being true to ourselves and God's word. And at times we need to be proactive and preserve goodness and expose ungodliness. I love the final verse of our Bible passage today. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What does this not mean? What does this not mean? This does not mean that we are saved by works. This does not mean we have to earn God's love. This does not mean that we have to climb a ladder of merit by earning heavenly bonus points. We're saved by what Jesus did for us on the cross, and not because we've earned it. As Paul writes in the second chapter of the letter to the Ephesians, for it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So as we take hold of what Jesus did for us by his death and resurrection, so we come into relationship with our Father God. Then the salvation process goes on as bit by bit we're transformed into the image of Christ. The salvation, it's a process that goes on. It begins with that recognition of who Jesus is and turning to him to ask him to be Lord of our lives. And then this transformation process of salvation goes on. part of the transformation process is growing in Christ-likeness and then living it out in our daily lives, living out the faith. But then Paul goes on in the next verse, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do." So we're saved by grace, by God's action through Jesus, which we take hold of by faith, but then to do good works. Saved for good works, not by good works. So much theology is just in prepositions. For, not by. So the order here is critical. For God's kingdom to come and his will be still done on earth as it is in heaven, we must first come to God through faith in Jesus. Then the Holy Spirit works in us and empowers us to work for heaven to come to earth. If the order's right, then our good works will reflect the very nature of God himself to others. And then the character of God can begin to be revealed to them. So our community transformation goals are what I call holistic mission. They can bring physical transformation along with the opportunity to share our faith. And then quoting Peter, who says in his first letter that we need to be prepared to give the reason for the hope that we have in Christ. People begin to recognize something by how we're working within the community, then of course we begin to have doors that can open to us to share the faith, and then more people can be drawn into this wonderful mission of God to bring all things in heaven and earth under the lordship of Jesus. So that's the background, that's the rationale for this vision. So let's now think about the five transformational goals. I'll just take them one at a time. I'm just going to go over these briefly today, but then they're going to be unpacked in the following weeks. So strong families. Families are the building blocks of society. And just as the letters of the New Testament tell us how we can treat one another in the church family, so these principles apply to the life of every single family, the ways that family can be strong, bound together, and thriving. Healthy relationships in each family lead to stability and health in society. Healthy people. The pandemic and ongoing challenges for the NHS have emphasized more than ever just how important our health is. And that health is for the whole person, physically, emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. And as God's people, we bring the fundamental ingredient of spiritual health, which actually underpins all of the other aspects. And so often, well-meant policies in local and national government can try to get things right in society, but unless you bring the spiritual component on it, it's actually unbalanced and it isn't able to do the full job. So bringing that spiritual component to people's lives, to their health, makes the whole thing much more holistic. Positive environment. Here we're thinking especially about the area around the church building. It's a busy road with vehicles running up and down along Collier Row Lane, where we see litter blowing about. We know that drug dealing goes along in some of the spaces which aren't necessarily directly next to houses. We do indeed know it goes on literally just outside here on Redriff Road. You can hear conflicts between people being acted out as they pass by. So we want to see this area to be a safe area, a clean and healthy area, a happy place to live, an area that looks good through what's growing here and the way it's maintained. Thriving businesses. When we came up with this goal, we were quite surprised as we prayed and discussed. But we realised that local shops and businesses are often places where people come together, where conversations happen, where community is actually becomes manifest. And business that's done on godly principles, it serves people, and money can be used for the common good. Then combating loneliness. And this is a real challenge, as by its very nature, it can be hidden. It might be a homeless person, it might be an elderly person at home, it might be somebody in hospital. Equally, it could be a mum with a new baby, or a teenager without friends. I'm sure that you can think of other scenarios. So the ministries that we have as a church are already touching these five goals. The work is going on, but can we do more? How can we do more? And over the next few weeks, we will be unpacking the goals one by one, starting with the environmental goal next week. Those who are already active in these areas will be speaking to us, sharing what they're doing, what they're seeing, so we can actually sort of take stock of where we're at, and then we can listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church and how we can move forward. So as a response this morning, you might want to look up at the banners if you can see them. I'll leave that slide up there so that we can just have a little chat with those around us, or just sit quietly and think about what I've been saying, just so we can begin to sort of engage with this whole subject. So let's do that now. Let's have a chat with the people either side of you. Or if you'd rather just sit quietly and think about this, then let's just do that for a couple of minutes now as our response today. If you'd just like to draw your discussions to a conclusion now. So, Father God, we just want to thank you for the energy that is building as we discuss this subject of transformation. And we pray, Father, that wonderful vision of the new heaven and the new earth, that we keep that in mind as just step by step we do what might seem like small things, but to know that in the spiritual realm, they're making a big difference. Thank you, Father, that you've called us to be part of this, all in preparation for the return of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.